Never give up. Never suppose that because you've not gotten the victory over your flesh, that somehow this book does not work.
Well, reality is this book never has worked. It is the God of the book that works. It is God who works in our lives. And you, when you go to your grave and you stand before your Lord and you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm guilty of all that you've accused me of." And he'll say back to you, "And I know, you're also guilty of fighting every step of the way. Well done. Get in here."
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick will continue teaching through the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians right here on Cross Reference Radio.
Man's problem is he has too much self-esteem. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor like yourself." He didn't say, "Oh, you don't have enough love for yourself." He said, "You have so much love for yourself, you can share it with everybody on earth and not miss a speck of it." And that's why the Bible says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he shall exalt you when he's good and ready." It says in due time, but it means when he's good and ready. And in that process, a lot takes place. Like what? Dying to self. That's what? Because that's what we need to have happen to us. And so we've got people pouring gasoline on fire saying your self-esteem is low. No, it's too high. You don't like who you think you've become. You want others to view you in a different light. You want to be something else. And because you don't like this predicament that you're in, you have told yourself that you don't like yourself. It's very easy to disprove. If you didn't like yourself, you would enjoy being a misfit or perceived as one. You would enjoy being a failure. After all, you hate yourself. "I hate me. I'm glad I'm a flunk out. I'm glad I'm bad. I'm glad I'm no good. I'm going to go outside after church service and smack myself around the parking lot for about 20 minutes. What is wrong with that guy? He hates himself. Well, we don't see this happening unless there's demon possession. And then we see it happen, or demonic influences. Then we see individuals trying to hurt themselves. Well, that wasn't really a part of what we're talking about, but I did feel so led to mention it because you don't hear too much about self-esteem like you did, 10, 20 years ago in the church. I mean, there were those promoters of it everywhere, Christian self-esteem, and they were doing the devil's work. I don't think they knew it at all, but they did it nonetheless. And there was another group of leaders in the church that were speaking out against it. One of my favorite ones to point out is Dave Hunt. And if you have a high opinion of yourself, you need to read some Oswald Chambers, you need to read some A.W. Tozier, and then read some A.W. Tozier, and then Tozier would be a good one, and some Dave Hunt on the side. And after you're done with those men, they'll be done with you. And you'll be in a stronger place because of it, because they're going to tell you like it is, the way that oftentimes we don't ever want to see as it is. But having their understanding darkened the world, but not the church. Alienated from God, not the church, but the world, because of the ignorance that is in them. This is why they don't know any better, because they don't want to know any better. And the ones that do want to know any better, that's where we come in to share this. To share the truth with them. Now, there is coming a time on earth where God is going to give man just what he wants. And the Bible calls it strong delusion. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 24. He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." And then he says, "See, I have told you beforehand." And so he's warning them. He's saying, listen, there's coming a time where God is going to turn man over to the false truths that men want to be true. You know what happens many times in people who hate Christianity? They find out there are truths they can't refute. And so they begin to react to it by how they think it should be, regardless of how it truly is. Yeah, well, that might be the truth, but it shouldn't be the truth, and therefore they respond to this false truth. In Second Thessalonians, Paul bears witness to the words of the Lord. He says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power. In other words, this is not a joke. This is not something that's, you know, you ignore. Signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Already in our science classes, the teaching of evolution. Listen, we agree there are adaptations within the species, but there are no changes. You do not ever have to worry about walking into Walmart as a human being and then walking out as a duck. You never have to worry about that. Affleck. And what's happening in our universities, they'll find this little thing that they don't fully understand. But they want it to point in a direction that is opposite of what is true. And they will begin to assign a meaning to it that is not there. It is a theory. And they think they have the scientific evidence, and they don't. Yes, there are changes within species. But again, we conduct this test every day, all the time. Every canned food in every supermarket is conducting a test for evolution. It is a closed system. What was put in that closed system is going to stay what was put in there. And nothing's ever going to change it from the inside. If the can is dented and air gets in, now the system is no longer closed. There's an influence from outside. Mankind is a closed system. God has closed it. He has created it. And the world who is alienated from God, not only can they not find morality, they don't want to find morality. They think at some spasm of death, everything's going to work out. They're saying they believe in magic by this. Yes, they look at life, they look at mankind, they look at his history, they see that it is the same all the way through. Nothing new under the sun. Man is a sinner. He goes to war. He dies from disease. He has all these problems. He has the same problems today that he had millennium ago. The only difference is now he's cooler doing it. He's air conditioned. I mean, I like air conditioning. One of the greatest inventions of mankind is the air conditioner, at least in the summer. Then my loyalty departs from that in the winter. I really like indoor heating. But my point is, we have these realities around us, and those who refuse God, they won't see them. There's no way to refute them. They don't want to hear the gospel message. That's not a reason why we should stop giving it to them. Part of it is the immorality, as I mentioned. This happens in Christians. Once a Christian locks onto a sin or something that's not edifying, they don't want to let it go. Once it begins to produce the harvest from all their labors. If a Christian gets involved in something that's not edifying, and then all of a sudden they're starting to reap what they've sown, they don't want to admit it oftentimes. They won't repent. They won't come clean with the Lord. They won't come clean with other Christians. And so what happens is warfare. This is illustrated for us in the book of Judges. In the 20th chapter, you remember these were men that had become so sexually perverted that they became murderers. And they were willing to go to war against their brothers to fight for the right to continue to do this. The story is captured for us in Judges chapter 20. It is a book that is presented to us with this statement within it. There was no king over Israel in those days. Each man did according to his own desire. And it says here, now when they confronted them, then Judges 20 verse 12, then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now, therefore, deliver up the men, the perverted men, who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah, to go to battle against the children of Israel. They were wrong. They were immoral. They were violent. They were murderous and godless and idolatrous. And when confronted with it, they didn't care about a debate. They were ready to fight for their right to be immoral. This is the power of darkness. This is the power of the devil. It is very real. And we don't have time to walk around counterfeiting our faith. We must look to embrace it. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've been struggling with sin for decades, the best thing I can tell you is to keep struggling. Fight it to the end. Never give up. Never suppose that because you've not gotten the victory over your flesh, that somehow this book does not work. Well, reality is this book never has worked. It is the God of the book that works. It is God who works in our lives. And you, if you go to your grave and you stand before your Lord and you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm guilty of all that you've accused me of." And he'll say back to you, "And I know you're also guilty of fighting every step of the way. Well done. Get in here. Get in. You're one of us." That's what we want. That's the reality of it. And he continues. I could say more, but verse 19, we're going to get out of chapter 4 tonight. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." You know, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit is willing to suffer and grieve over their lost state, their condition. They don't say, "No, I will exalt myself. I will esteem myself." They say, "No, I am poor. I am a pauper. I don't have what it takes before the throne of God." That is the poor in spirit. That is the one who has embraced reality. And that is the one that therefore is embraced by God. The antithesis, the other side of this, is the one past feelings. "I don't like how that feels. And so I reject it. I need to feel in control. I need to feel like I'm going to have fun." And again, if you've ever been around anybody who lives for fun, you've been around somebody who's not fun to be with. This being past feelings, of course, reminds us of what Paul wrote about men. He said, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I was looking in verse 1, and it's in verse 2. But I'll read verse 1. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says, that takes away the doubts, right? In latter times, some will depart from the faith." The Calvinists don't teach that. Too bad, the Bible does. "Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Demons have teachings. That's what it means. Demons have teachings. How do they pull them off? Through those who are alienated from God, who are in darkness, who lack understanding, who are intelligent among human beings, but not impressive to God. You think of somebody who you think is the most intelligent person that you've ever been exposed to. Do you think God is impressed with them? Do you really think God's like, "Wow, you are sharp. I'm looking for someone to govern the universe over here. And I understand someone going to college and getting becoming a doctorate in theology. Just don't tell me about it. It's between you and God. Why do I got to call you doc? Anyway. And if you are here and you want to be a doctor in theology, go for it. Just don't get puffed up over it. When you put on the cap with the tassel, don't think that you're better than anyone. Just use it as something that God has given to you. What do you have that you have not received? God could have struck you with a severe case of stupidity. And then you wouldn't have gotten the hat and little tassel. I don't know. Those hats are kind of cool. Why don't we wear them more? You know, on your bike. But here it comes back to this. It says that the doctrines of demons, the Spirit especially says in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Paul said they don't feel anything anymore. They're numb to any appeal of righteousness and reason. They want to do what they want to do. They're the captain of their own ship, and they think God is stupid enough to be their co-pilot. God will never be a co-pilot. He won't even be the pilot. He's God. How about that? He picks the plane up and flies it through the air. Stupid sayings of people that just think it's cool to rebel against God. It's not cool to go against righteousness. It is the height of folly. And I'm holding backwards. I've been working on it. I've been really trying to be like, you know,
debonair in the pulpit.
No, I have not. But anyway, it continues, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness. They did it themselves. God did not do this. Don't blame God. Don't blame society. Don't blame your upbringing. You did it if that is what has happened. Even if you dipped and dabbed with some sin as a youngster, and you found that that sin won't let you go as an oldster. If you found out what I started playing with in my youth, I just wanted to experiment with this, and then the next thing you know, you are its slave. And you need to understand that you do reap what you sow, as the scripture said, but that is no reason to reject God. You now need to fight your way out of it. He's given them over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned. It doesn't say doctrine here. It says Christ. When I was a child, and I would pick up something from friends or out in the street or just discover it out of my own bag of tricks, my mother would say, where did you get that? Where did you get this idea? Who put that in your head? Because she knew it didn't come from her. God says the same thing to us. Where did you get that? In the book of Genesis, when man first discovered sin, God says, I've been looking for you. Why were you hiding? Now, he really wasn't looking for them. He's extracting from them the truth. He doesn't say it in that way, but I'm boiling it down. He says, I've been looking for you. Where have you been? And we were naked, and we hid from you. And God says, who told you you were naked? Have you been by the tree I forbid you to go by? In other words, he said, where did you get this from? How did you understand that being nude was a problem? Unless sin has gotten in there. Well, sin did get in there. We know the story. And this is what happens. You have not so learned Christ, Paul says, as a loving parent. You're supposed to look, resemble your parent. What? We'll get to this in chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. When you have a child and they want to be like mom or dad, it is a beautiful compliment. We love it. And so does God. When we want to be like his son, Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. He loves it also. This is what we have learned. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to steer away from the value systems of the world. Yes, they are appealing the people in the world. They are oftentimes easier to get along with than Christians themselves. But they are still lost. And when they die, that's all they'll have, is that confession. They were oftentimes better than some of the Christians themselves. In John's second letter, he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Jesus, in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Where's that doctrine come from? Well, he himself gave some to be apostles, and the apostles, we're told, are the ones that gave us doctrine we're supposed to follow at Acts 2:22, continuing steadfastly. That means steadfastly, in spite of the sin you're struggling with, you continue to pursue the doctrine of the apostles, the fellowship of the assembly. That fellowship is critical. It's not like, well, doctrine 80%, fellowship gets 20%. No, it's doctrine 100%, fellowship 100%, prayer, communion. You know what communion is? It is an unrelenting recognition that Jesus died for you, that he's alive for you, that he's right here right now, that he is indeed Lord of all. That's what the communion is. It's not just, ooh, pass the cup. It's the Lord God Almighty right here doing everything he said. It is also recognizing that others have died, recognizing it without the resource materials that we have today. Many saints have gone to the stake and burned at the stake because they knew Jesus Christ. And that's that. And we now belong to this. You cannot diminish God's word. You cannot say that part's not important. The situational ethics, there's a time to lie and a time to tell the truth. God says, no, that's not how we do it. In fact, that goes against what I've commanded you. Well, there's so much more to say. I'm not going to take the time talking about being shameless. You can tell the wicked. They have no shame when they can conduct their... So, well, we'll take one. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 5. And there he says, the Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Next time you think you want to charge God with unrighteousness because you've not received what you've wanted, because you've been frustrated, remember, he does no unrighteousness. He continues, every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails, but the unjust know no shame. They're not ashamed of what they do. We have a group in this country. They're so brazen about it. They've changed the name from homosexuality to gay. Now they want to change it to, I don't know, BLT or some other acronym they have. And then they want to eventually get rid of that too and say, hey, we're just like you. No, you're not. You're not. If we were all like you, nobody would be here. Do the math. Don't forget, science is your God. What a contradiction. What a contradiction of the sciences that they uphold, of the rationale they're supposed to bring. Well, they're now like the men of Benjamin. They don't care about reason. They care about violence to preserve their right to molest whoever they desire. That's where it's going. It's just, there's a part of you that just gets sick and tired of evil, getting away with evil. And yet you've got to check the carnal man, the flesh, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I just say it that way to share with you, I too struggle with the flesh. It's not like, well, he's a pastor now. Flesh doesn't deal with, bother him. Are you crazy? It's doubled up. It's really coming to get me now. Talking with you, I'm in the flesh. No. Okay, back to this. He says, if indeed, verse 21, you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And so there it is. You're either a counterfeit or you are fit. Which one will you be? It's your choice. It's an act of the will. It's not an act of a what you've achieved. It's what are you shooting for? What do you believe? Where do you stand? Frustration. To not get what you want, it causes you to lose your joy, and it causes you to get angry if you're not careful. And it is frustrating when we cannot be as righteous as we know we are to be. How righteous are we to be? As righteous as Jesus Christ. Well, we can't get there, but we are to die trying. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. This old man does not die until you die. Physically, you will be dealing with the flesh all your days on this earth. And anyone who tells you that Christians do not sin has not the understanding of the scripture or reality, and they're probably lying to you and they know it. If a man tells you, just go ask his wife. If a woman tells you, just go ask her husband. Do they sin? You live with them. Yeah, you should see how he was talking to me last night. You should see what he did when the guy cut him off, and you should see the time he tried to hide this from the IRS. Yeah, of course. So, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's where the battleground is. It is a battle for the mind, the insight of the individual. It is a war. And why is it? Again, why do our children go to the public schools to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, and they're taught other things? Why is there a desire on their part to influence our children's behavior? Because there's a real devil. That's why. There's a battle for the mind. And if it were all about just having a good society of educated people, they would stick to the disciplines. But no, they want to teach them about rainbow people, whatever that might mean. The perversity. You got to put your boots on just to go in the front door. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I wish I could be a gentle spirit. I wish I could just say, you know, in true righteousness and holiness, and just speak that way all the time. Now, some of you would say, no, I like it when the fire's up. I'm a little nervous because I get in the flesh too quick and end up messing up. But true righteousness and true holiness, what Christian does not want that? What we learn from the Proverbs is that it's not enough to be wise. What we learn from Ecclesiastes, it's not enough to be righteous. We must be holy people. We must be in the presence of God, conscious of what is going to happen to us in this life and the next life concerning Him. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Why do you even have to tell Christians to put away lying? But you do. Put a little pressure on them, and you'll find that they lie. You say, then why should I be a Christian? Well, not because of Christians, but because of Jesus Christ, because He is true.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.